Our scripture for this morning is Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 4b through 14. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes from through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Jesus, come. Through me or in spite of me, come and wake us up. Touch our hearts in this place this day. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, I tell you, as I read that scripture all week long, the more the week wore on, the more I began to question to myself, have I really had a personal experience with the risen Christ? I'm going to ask you the same thing. As we go through that scripture that Danny just read this morning, has anybody here really had a personal experience with the risen Christ? If you listen to Paul, it's amazing. In that scripture today, the experience of meeting the risen Christ redefined his life. Totally redefined his life. Now, when I was a kid, my dad prided himself. We raised German Shepherd puppies. And I had a German Shepherd dog named Tess. And she was the finest mother shepherd you have ever known in your life. She gave birth. Her first four litters of puppies were 12 each. 12 puppies, 4 times. We raised puppies on bottles and everything else. But Tess had a pedigree a mile long. As a matter of fact, her grandfather had been the world champion high jumper of the K-9 Corps. I mean, he was, you know, she had that look about her. She was, when she was a puppy, I was walking her. She was 3-4 months old, and I was walking her on a little leash, you know, and I don't know, we lived in a place where we didn't normally do that. And there was an old bulldog on the street next to us named Spike, one of those big old boxer bulldogs. Spike wore one of those Spike collars and all that kind of stuff. He came down there and he got on Tess and he just whipped her something terrible. And I thought, I took her home and Daddy said, "That's okay, son, don't you worry about Tess, she'll be fine." About a year later, we were going over to the park to play and Tess was running along beside me, not on a leash this time. And old Spike came back down off that porch and jumped on her, and he wished he never had, because it was unbelievable. Tess just pitched him up in the air and threw him around, and he never would even come off the porch again. She had a pedigree that was to be proud of. Well, as Paul started this understanding, this discourse about how Jesus made a difference in his life, did you hear his pedigree? He lays his pedigree out. Paul says, I am a Jew. I'm somebody. You don't understand who you're dealing with. You don't understand who I was. Just like Jesus and all the other Orthodox Jews, I was circumcised on the eighth day and claimed as a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Jew. Not only that, I am of the tribe of tribes. When I say I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, there is no more esteemed tribe in all of Israel than the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. I didn't just slide in here by chance, but that's who I am. And on top of that, I'm a Pharisee. I am one who understands the law, and not only that, I am a keeper of the law, and it was me, that the Romans trusted with persecuting the Christian church. This heresy that sprang up around us, it was I who got the job to go and be the persecutor of the church, of these people who call Christians. As to the law, I was absolutely blameless. Now, I don't know how many of you thought through this or not, but how many of you in here can honestly say you've never broken one of the 10? You hear that? Paul says, not only have I kept the 10, I've kept the 900 that had been adopted by the Jewish legalistic system over and above the 10. As to keeping the law, I have lived like a godly man. I have walked the earth like a godly man. You see, Paul had every reason in this world to be proud. In all of Judaism, and by everything that Judaism held sacred and the Romans held sacred, Paul was as successful as anybody ever got. Yet, when he met this man called Jesus, everything in his life changed. Everything in his life changed. Meeting Jesus and knowing Jesus redefined Paul's life so that nothing else mattered except getting closer and closer and closer to living like Jesus lived. Paul writes in that text, he knew Jesus and wanted to be like Jesus. He wanted to walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus and love like Jesus. He wanted to be Jesus to everybody he met. And the law, all of the law, everything he was proud of, took a back seat to grace and mercy. And it's Paul who comes up and says, no, it's no longer the law. By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of your own. It's a gift of God. Everything about his life changed. And Paul began to preach a new gospel, a new God, a different God, a God whom he understood now from his heart instead of his head and his hands and his feet. Privilege that Paul had enjoyed as a Pharisee and as a Roman citizen and as a Hebrew among Hebrews, all the privileges that he had yielded to sacrifice. And Paul would write later of gladly suffering for the sake of Jesus and for the gospel of Jesus. You see, Paul changed. He abandoned privilege, righteousness, and reputation and became a missionary who gave everything he had to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the church of the living Christ. Paul actually believed, you see, that Jesus was the incarnation of God in human flesh. And he believed that when he had met the God, when he had met Jesus, he had met the holy God himself. And that he had no other recourse but to try to be what that God wanted him to be. So Paul modeled his whole life to follow the teachings of Jesus. Paul began a structured ministry where he walked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles to cities where he wasn't welcomed, to preach the good news of the gospel, to plant churches, and to send them letters back, checking on them and encouraging them so that they might not forget who they were and who it was that they followed. Paul thought that to know Jesus was to want to be like him. So Paul began to live a life of prayer and reflection, where he would do something and then he'd go pray and he'd be his own worst enemy. How many of y'all are there sometimes? You do something that you think is good and then you go and you reflect and you say, boy, did I really do it right? Did I really do it as lovingly as it could be done? Did I really do it as caringly as it could be done? And Paul began to pray and reflect and doing what Christ would do and going where Christ would go. You see, Paul committed, as you heard those verses that Danny read, Paul committed to the cause in his life being the cause of Christ. In the Greek, it's pistis. When Paul talks about the effect that Jesus had on him, the Greek word is pistis, an interesting word. It takes four of our English words even to get close to understanding the Greek. When Paul says, the cause, I have forsaken all for this cause, the Greek means he's put all of his faith, all of his belief, all of his trust, and all of his faithfulness into following Jesus Christ. In our English today, we'd probably say, Paul's saying he sold out to Jesus. He absolutely sold out to Jesus. He decided that he would trust God and God alone for everything, and that there would be no props, no substitutes, no symbols, nothing else in this world can take the place of Jesus. Absolutely nothing. Paul realized you can carry all the trinkets around in your pocket you want to. We can decorate the sanctuary with cross and flowers and candles and altars and everything you want to. But they are no substitute for having met the living Christ. The only thing that matters, not according to Mike, but according to Paul, the only thing is matters is just Jesus. Just Jesus. All our hope, all our trust, all of our faith, all of our tomorrows, and all of our love, we put in Jesus. For Paul, Jesus became the cause in life. And all he ever wanted to do from that point on was to imitate Jesus. I was reminded as I thought about this, in him, Paul would later write, in him we live and move and have our being, in Christ and Christ alone. So I'm back to where I began with you. It's the same question. Have I really ever met the living Christ? Have you ever really met, in a personal way, the living Christ? If so, the things of this world fall by the wayside for the cause of Jesus Christ. And may you who have ears to hear, hear.